Hey Urban Spinsters, it's Sadia Sanders of UrbanSpinster.com, where we are creating our own agenda, dispelling societal myths, and redefining the word spinster. Well, I just finished watching this week's episode of Evil Lives Here on the ID channel. I love that channel and really all things murder mystery related. This show in particular goes into the signs that people ignore when it comes to someone that they're either married to or related to, and they never thought they would be a killer, whether it's serial killer or it was a one-time thing or like a mass shooting or something like that. But there are always things that lead up to the big event that is kind of like the climax of the show. So make sure you are liking, subscribing, and sharing this podcast. Also, consider becoming a donor to the Urban Spinster podcast for as little as 99 cents per month. You can donate to the show so that I can continue to bring you quality content. You can donate at three levels, 99 cents, $4.99, and $9.99. And I want to give a shout out to my latest sponsor, Mr. Bruce. Bruce, thank you for donating to the Urban Spinster podcast. And I hope you continue to tune in for the edutainment. So I will get into this latest episode of Evil Lives Here titled I Don't Believe in Forgiveness right after this. Hey, Spinster Society, make sure you go to UrbanSpinster.com and click on that fashion merch link. That link will take you directly to the Urban Spinster store on Teespring, where I have that merch available for you in leisure wear. You got two styles of sweatshirts with Never Settle on the front and the Urban Spinster logo on the back. One is a crew neck and one is a slouchy off the shoulder. There are also leggings and the matching sports bra in a great African print. You can use these items whether you're lounging around the house or you're actually working out during this COVID season. So make sure you check it out. Again, fashion merch link on UrbanSpinster.com. Okay, let's get into this episode. I Don't Believe in Forgiveness. And this story is being told by the ex-wife of Manuel Gehring, Terry. And Terry met Manuel in high school. She fast forwards to college when she was a senior in college. That's when he asked her to marry her. However, she doesn't go into what happened in between. So I don't know how long they were dating before he asked her to marry him. And she was a resident assistant in college, so she had her own phone in her room, which was a big deal in the 80s, because when you were in college back in those days, no one had cell phones. You had to walk down the hall to a payphone and use the phone if you needed to. So she had been out and he had been blowing her phone up in her room all night long. Because when she got back, she was getting complaints from the other students saying, hey, your phone's been ringing all night. Can you answer it or what? You know, they either answer it or tell them stop calling, whatever. So they were complaining. And she knew as soon as she heard the complaint who it was. So that lets you know there had to be some type of indication that Manuel was a little obsessive prior to this. But she admits that she didn't even see it as being obsessive. She saw it as him just being clueless of social norms. Now, I would stop right there. It's kind of like, you know, we're in our late teens, early 20s. We may think that someone being a little obsessive or jealous even is cute. Oh, that means that they really are into me. They really care about me. Now, she didn't say that, but she did say she didn't think it was obsessive. So It's like, okay, why would you even want to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't have social norms in their late teens, early 20s? Something is wrong with that. Okay, so he is inconsiderate at best at this point, she says. And she continues to say while they were dating, they would take these walks. And he took her on this walk. It was in the evening, according to, because this show does reenactments. So it's dark outside. They're walking. She doesn't know where he's taking her. And they get into an argument and she couldn't really recall about what, but she assumes it was something to do with her not wanting to do whatever he wanted to do in the moment. And so he gets pissed off and tells her he's going to leave her there. And so she's like, okay, wait, what? You're just going to leave me out here? And they get to going back and forth and he gets kind of aggressive with her. Now, he didn't hit her at that point, but this was the side of him that she had not seen before. So, okay, now he's escalating. He's going from he called you all night long and being inconsiderate and was just bored. So he decided he was going to blow your phone up and didn't care about anybody else being affected by that. Then he threatens to leave you somewhere and gets aggressive with you, which she didn't like the first incident with the phone call. But, okay, here's something else. Now, these are just the things that we're being privy to as viewers, because I'm sure it's more than this. Like I said, she fast forwarded from high school to college. So who knows what went on in between that time. So she marries this fool and goes on to have not one, but two kids. And he's escalating still. Okay. He goes from being aggressive to then being physically abusive. He has these sexual desires that include, she didn't go into too much detail, but she does say at some point that he got into bondage. So he was into stuff she wasn't into, and then he was forcing himself on her. So basically he was raping her. And back then she says, you know, they didn't talk about marital rape. It was, okay, that's your husband, and, you know, that wasn't considered rape if you were married to the person. But then, you know, date rape wasn't even a big thing back then either. So, but it was rape nonetheless. So, at some point, he is, not only he raped her, he has beaten her. She tries to leave, or threatens to leave. And this is after the first child. She threatens to leave and he locks her out of the house. Because he's like, oh, you want to make threats? Oh, okay, well, let me show you. So he locks her out. They get into another altercation where he is beating her and she threatens to leave and he's like, well, no, I'm gonna leave. And he takes the child with him when the child was a baby, her first child. And the neighbor sees the altercation because now they're outside. They move from inside the house to outside. He hits her and the neighbor sees and calls the police. He convinces her to drop the charges. Now, this is why a lot of times people don't like to get involved, because this type of stuff happens. They wind up still with the person that is whooping their ass. They don't press charges. Well, nowadays, it doesn't matter. Back then, you could say, oh, I don't want to press charges, or you could press charges and then drop them later. You can't do that now. If the police are called out to a domestic violence situation and it's clear that there has been a fight, they're going to file a report. There can't be this, oh, no, that's okay kind of thing because of stuff like this going on. So She also mentions that when she was dating him, she was kind of on this path to, I thought I'd graduate from college and I get married and I have these kids and I have this life. And a lot of people do that. They make these lists. And if anything seems like it's going to take them off track, they ignore it or make justification so that they can stay on this track. Well, this track is dysfunctional and you're being abused. And then your kids are seeing this abuse. So they are in position to either be hurt themselves, become abusive as adults, or be involved in abusive relationships because that's normal to them, because this is what you've allowed them to see. So regardless of her being inexperienced in her relationships, because she keeps saying that, well, I didn't really know and I thought maybe this was something that couples go through, it doesn't matter what other people may or may not go through or what you may or may not know as far as how to be a wife or how many men you've dated. It's about how that person is making you feel. If that person is showing you that they want to have control over you and you are to be so submissive that you have no voice, that's not someone you need to continue to be in a relationship with, period. It doesn't matter what kind of track you on, path you on. Oh, this is my first boyfriend. It doesn't matter. If your instinct, your gut really is your gut, because sometimes you feel like, okay, what's happening here? Or, I didn't like that. You know, you might get a little feverish feeling or a flutter in your stomach or like, you know what? It takes a physical reaction. Your body does react when something's not right. And if you just ignore it, it's going to continue. People escalate. They don't go the opposite direction. If a man is being obsessive, it's going to continue on from there. It's just going to get worse. And it's going to turn into something even more. And in this case, he winds up killing people, which could have been avoided had she broke ties with him before they ever got married. And you don't have one kid, but you have two kids? It's like, girl, what, huh? I don't get it. But, you know, I think too, as women, we are not taught to value ourselves or to follow our instinct. Especially back then, you know, but I still see it now. I mean, girls want to just attach themselves, these young girls, now I say young, I'm talking about like high school, they're the reality show generation. So it's kind of like, okay, get this guy that has this money and you can live like this. Okay, get pregnant so you're guaranteed this check. And a lot of times these men are abusive or they're emotionally unavailable because, you know, they got you and this one over here and that one over there. And if money is all you want, but you're willing to sell your soul, and at some point you're not going to be happy, you're going to wind up divorced anyway. And I guess you know, if you fine with the money, but you're getting your ass whooped, you know, or you don't really know what a loving relationship is because the dude is never there. I mean, this is what we're working with. So your mindset has always got to be, how are you being treated? And if you're not okay with how you're being treated, it's okay to say that. And if that person does not adjust, then they're done. You got to be out. That's it. And a lot of times we as single women get a bad rap of, oh, you don't get a guy's a chance. It's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you break it off quickly before it turns into something like death, then it's like, oh, girl, you don't give him a chance. Oh, this, that, and he's a good man. And, da, da, da. And they don't know this man like that. They're looking at surface. They're looking like somebody looks good on paper. Oh, he's from a good family. Oh, he has a degree. Oh, he has this, he has that. But what kind of person is he? What is the character of the individual? And people will show you who they are fairly quickly. No one can fake who they really are for long. You know, I say, you know, maybe a month or two and it'll come out. It's, are you paying attention? And that's what Terry says, is if she could say something to her younger self, it would be follow your gut and pay more attention. I'm not going to give away what happens because there's always a climax to these episodes. You know, it didn't start off with, oh, this person's a killer. It's always, this is how we met. This is how they were initially. And then this happened and that happened and the third thing happened and boom. There's this big event. It's always a murder. But in this case, I'm not going to tell you who wound up being murdered and how it ended, because there's some twists for sure in this episode. So go watch it. Evil Lives Here. This episode again is titled I Don't Believe in Forgiveness, because she doesn't forgive Manuel for what he did and how he just altered the course of her life. But she does blame herself. And you know, when you know better, you do better. But in this case, ignoring these signs just really cost her dearly. So we can, and again, that's why I love these shows, because there's always something we can learn. I always look back at people I've dated and say, yep, they did this. Okay, and then they did that. And then, okay, if I had stayed, would I be here now? Or would I be, you know, just messed up mentally if I hadn't have got out when I did, you know? So it's always something. It didn't have to result in someone being killed, but you don't want to be in a situation where they've just screwed you over to the point where you don't want to be in a relationship anymore. You're fearful all the time. You're always looking over your shoulder. You don't want that either. You know, my she's like a cousin. She's not really my blood cousin. She was married to this guy in the military. And he was in the Navy, I think. And they divorced fairly quickly. And he got with this other young lady. And he wound up killing her. And when my play cousin, I guess you could say, broke it off with him, I don't know if he was physically abusive. She didn't really tell me that, but whatever it was enough for her to say, okay, nah, this, I'm done with this. And then he goes on to murder the next chick that he's with. So, you know, that could have been her. And you always have to keep that in mind. It's like, okay, not just like, again, didn't have to get to something that drastic, but why be even put through the ringer emotionally at all? Why be with someone who doesn't value your time? Why be with someone who is selfish? I always pay attention to how people treat their server when you go out to eat, or someone who's doing some type of work for them, whether it be their gardener, the person at the dry cleaners, or, you know, whatever. People who are in service industries, if you're on a date with someone, or if you're just in conversation and they're talking crazy about someone in that type of position that's in service to them, or they're belittling that person, or they're just rude for no reason. That's who they are. And that's going to be you at some point. And that's the mistake a lot of people make, is they think that when someone is mistreating someone else, that, oh, well, that's their relationship with them, or that's how they treat them. No, that's their character. That's who they are. And at some point, if you stick around long enough, you're going to be the recipient of that same behavior or worse. So keep that in mind. All right. So let me know what you thought about the episode, if you even watch it, or if you have any similar experiences. Feel free to share. You can always leave a message, a voice message on Anchor if you're listening to the podcast on the Anchor app or on the website. Or you could leave me a message on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Urban Spinster XO. And make sure to follow if you are not already. Again, website urbanspinster.com. Check out the Single Woman's Agenda Guided Journals. There are 5 of them available for digital download in various topics like mindset, money, lifestyle, ownership, and relationships. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Have a good one. Hey, Spinster Society. This is Sadia Sanders of urbanspinster.com, where we are creating our own agenda, dispelling societal myths, and redefining the word spinster. Whew, Lord, I just watched a interview after watching a Facebook Live rant by Bishop A. Wyoming Bazemore Jr. I was scrolling through YouTube and I saw Larry Reed Live, who is a YouTuber, and most of the content that he has on his channel relates to the church and exposing all the foolery that goes on in the Black church, specifically with these pastors and their hypocrisy and indiscretions and all kind of foolishness. So this is yet another issue with a pastor. But this particular bishop, that's his ranking, I guess, in whatever denomination he belongs to, he went on Facebook earlier today and he has been advised to take the video down, so I don't know if he will or not, but currently it's still up. It was early part of the day, and he's just going off on his current wife, and he's ranting about how tired he is of being manipulated, and he's cussing and going in on this woman. Her name is Angel, and apparently she has had relationships with other clergy members prior to him. And she is known in whatever that their circle is to be someone not to deal with. And he had been warned multiple times, but he got with her anyway, married her anyway. And he's going on and on about how much of a bad person she is and all these things that she has done to him. Now, he does admit that he has some wrongdoing in basically not being a good steward over his money. And he has a prison pass. He's a convicted felon. And I looked that up. When he was about 28, he got caught writing bad checks. He was buying luxury vehicles and so forth, so on. He got caught. He mentions in his rant on Facebook that he had embezzled money from his family's funeral home business. And when the father of the business found out, his father, that he switched the account information so he could no longer get funds from this business. And he claims he was doing this, the embezzlement, in order to try to keep up the bills at home that he shares with or shared with this particular wife. He's been married before. He's only about 32. So this wasn't that long ago that he went to prison. And it seems like he didn't learn anything, because the same stuff he went to prison for is the stuff he continued to do even while being a pastor and trying to keep up appearances.
And he mentions that as well. He does a lot of things that speak to him being very insecure. And I have to mention his weight because Larry Reed, when Larry Reed interviewed him today, same day, which was about an hour long interview, it was very informative. And Larry kind of really drilled down and asked him, is this woman the most attractive woman that you have ever been with? And he said, yes. He said, okay. So that's part one of why he allowed himself to be drawn in by her. Her level of attractiveness in comparison to him, obviously not being confident in who he is. So despite all the warnings, he went on with it anyway. Now, regardless of her, he got his own issues because before he met her, he went to prison. Okay, so they ain't got nothing to do with her. And I think that is what was perturbing me about his whole rant was that he kept talking about all this stuff she was doing, but at the same time, why weren't you using your own discretion? Despite the warnings, and he said when he was interviewed by Larry, because Larry said, well, if you were warned, why did you continue? And he said, well, all of the signs he was told to look out for were not present. He was told specific things to look out for, and none of those things occurred. So he's thinking, okay, well, this was her past. This is not who she is now. But that was obviously not the case. And he goes on in his rant to say that they were expecting a child and she was planning to have an abortion. He found out by, I won't even say intercepting the call. She had asked him to answer the phone when it was ringing, and it happened to be the abortion clinic trying to confirm her appointment, which he found out later by doing his own investigation, because she kind of grabbed the phone out of his hand when she heard who was on the line. But he was married at 18. So that is very telling in that, okay, he's never been single. He got married at 18. That didn't work. He tried to keep up appearances with that, he says in his rant. He got with this lady. That's not where he only been with this lady. It seemed like he keeps talking about months, you know, 6 months, 7 months. They ain't been together that long. So and he does mention on Larry Reed's interview that he's never in his adult life been single. And that is a huge part of the problem. You don't know who you are. You're constantly trying to please other people and try to do what you think is going to gain you approval and validation. That's what he needs to deal with, first and foremost. This woman has put him out of their home multiple times, he said. As today, when he was doing the interview, he was in his car. He didn't even have nowhere to sleep. And Larry Reed was basically taking up a collection and telling people to Cash App him. But, you know, he said, well, let me test the Cash App, make sure it's going through. And that the wife wasn't getting the money. But people were in the comments were betting that he was going to go back to her because he had mentioned if she had called, he might go back. So, you know, he really has got to deal with his own internal issues. But let me let you hear a little bit of his rant before it gets taken down.
If it was me, I apologize and I try to move past it. Let her tell it. Always some dumb stuff with her. I'm done. Yeah, some bills got behind. And it's my responsibility for it. It's my fault. The way that things are, it's my fault. I got behind on the bills because I wasn't working. And a lot of stuff is in her name. But you don't end your marriage because of a damn bill. I had 13 years. 14 years I was in a marriage. Love. And I'm not the only person this has been done to. I'm not. This has been done to countless preachers in me all across this damn country, all across. the advice of the board of bishops for my for the organization I was a part of, against everybody's, I still did it. I still did it. Because I was so far in love and I'm tired of it. I am fucking another day. I got stuff I had to do. I'm talking to one bishop and I won't even tell his name. And he said, Bazemore, if you don't get out of it, you're gonna try to hurt her just like I did. He said, Bishop Donnie Graves had to stop me from killing her. He had to stop me from trying to kill this girl. She said, oh, he rages at me. But you don't tell the stuff that you do, but tell it. I don't even have a ministry no more. We started that church. That's another thing. We started that church in Sophia. We started that church in Sophia. My wife, the evangelist, the prophetess, sat up there and been to one Sunday morning service. One. One. And the only reason why she came to the other service was because she was asked to preach. She was asked to preach. That is the only reason she came to the other service. She is so high-minded and arrogant. Arrogant. Girl, she is arrogant. Because she got a prophetic gift. Listen to me. This girl can prophesy. This girl will sit up there and will tell you your life story. And after she does it, but you this great prophet. Please, I'm telling y'all, I take it no more. Not another day. I want a divorce. And that's part of my damn problem now. I was so busy trying to impress you church folk. So busy trying to impress you church folk, trying to look the part. I'm done.
So it goes on. It was about a 45-minute rant, but you know, he mentions how the red bottoms that she was wearing were not purchased by her or by them. They were, well, new. They were actually used, but she just had to appear a certain way. And apparently the moves that he was making financially were based on appearance. And he really didn't have it. All of the house is in her name. The car he's driving in this video is in her name. He ain't got nowhere to stay. He's sleeping in a car. And when he was interviewed by Larry, he said something about he had to come to the car to he rested in the car for a night or something to that effect. He used the word rested versus you're living in your car now, sir. And Larry had to kind of check him on that and say, listen, we got to say what it is. We got to stop with the putting on airs. You don't have anywhere to stay. You're not resting in your car. Rest is you pull over, you shut your eyes for a minute, and you go on to where you need to go. He has nowhere to go. And he has some family that he needs to connect with or whatever. But Larry did say before he started asking for his Cash App information that, you know, look, we're not giving you this money for you to finance getting back with her. This is for you. And Larry also offered to pay for two counseling sessions with the therapist that he is connected with for him only, not for them as a couple. So hopefully he will take advantage of that. But my concern was, you know, you're dealing with Cash App. It's so funny because I know a couple of people who have been having issues with their Cash App, and it's not anything to do with the company. It's that they don't know how it really works. They didn't set it up. Somebody set it up for them and all this kind of stuff. He has said, Bishop Bazemore has said, he had bad credit. So if you have a bank account, you can't get a bank account with bad credit. If you have had a history of check fraud, which this man has, you will be on a system called check systems. Basically, they run your information. Oh, no, you got a history. You can't open no account. So where is the money going? If you're Cash Apping someone, Cash App is just a placeholder. It's a third party. You have to go into your account and say, okay, cash me out. And the money gets transferred somewhere. So it's not like you Cash App somebody and they instantly have access to it. It has to go to their bank. Then you have access to it from your checking account. So if she got all the accounts in her name, then who are you Cash Apping? You know, so people have to really think. And because he has a history of fraud, that in itself would keep me from giving in that way. You know, if there was some other way that you knew exactly it was getting to him, then that's different. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, I thought it was very insightful that Larry got him to talk about the fact that he has never been single in his adult life. And he does not know who he is. And clearly he lacks confidence. Because if you're doing all this and you heard him just say he was trying to impress, he was trying to look the part. He's been doing this since at least 27, 28, and you're 32. So let's stop this now before it gets any further. And he has children from his previous relationship that he don't even see. So what's going on with that? You with this new chick and you take care of her kids, but you ain't seeing your own kids. I always find that fascinating. Like, you know, fight for your own children first, you know, versus, okay, well, that was my life over there and my baby mama tripping or whatever. That don't have nothing to do with them children. Those children did not ask to be here. So take care of your kids first that you already got before you get with somebody else and they'll try to play daddy to them. So, I mean, he admits that he has some issues, but that's what he got to deal with first. You shouldn't be pastoring no damn body until you deal with your stuff, truly. So Larry Reed's interview just took place maybe about 45 minutes ago from me recording this. So definitely it's going to be posted. Now, Bishop Bazemore's rant might be taken down, but as of right now, it is available on Facebook. And again, his name, he goes by A period. His name is Anthony, but on his page, it's A period Wyoming Bazemore, Bazemore Jr. And his rant is about 45 minutes long. So, you know, give it a look and see what insight you gather from it. And I think it the message is you got to know who you are. And even though you get a warning, take heed and just kind of watch people, because usually people don't change that much. They might change a little bit, but at their core, they are who they are. And if they were this way with one person, it's just a matter of time until you get yours if you deal with them. And her method was a little different with him, but the end result was the same. So there you go. All right, make sure you are subscribing to the channel. My social media handles are at Urban Spinster XO, and that is Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Trying to build up the YouTube channel. So if there's something that you want to see, I've been doing some product reviews because that seems to be what people are viewing the most. So I'm just trying to get a feel for, okay, what do people want to see as far as the direction for that channel? So if there's something specific you want me to talk about or a product that you want me to review or give my opinion on something, usually the products I review, I have been using. So it's easy for me to give my opinion. I have tried a couple of new things, but let me know what you'd like to see. You can always shoot me an email or DM me or what have you. All my information is in the description of all the videos. Subscribe to that YouTube channel. YouTube channel is Urban Spinster. All right, I will talk to y'all soon. Have a good one.